Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 31st, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and we are joined right now by our friend, Darla Allen, director of the Charles and Joanne Lester Library. Darla, it's been too long. How you doing?
I am doing great. The library is doing well. Things are going fantastic.
Darla, we've got a bunch to cover because, you know, not just certainly all of our local libraries. You guys are so great at giving the communities things to do, our local hubs. It's great in 2025 to be able to say that. You know, our libraries are still our local hubs, and the workers like you, people like you in the industry are helping keep that alive. We're going to touch on some of that in a moment. But if you don't mind, I have a solemn place to start, but a place that we felt was necessary.
Yes. So many of you know Marshall Beeler passed away late last week, and his memorial services are being held today in Port Edwards. And Marshall was so wonderful. He was a driving force for preserving our local history. He was wonderful to work with. Lori Brost, who was at the Southwood County Historical Society, worked with Marshall extensively, and through that, I got to meet Marshall and work with him. The local history stories he shared with me about the mills and just how Port Edwards developed and all of the movers and shakers back in the day. I relished listening to those stories. And it's been so neat because over the years, I've been at Nakusa for 17 years. I've been able to share those stories with all the school kids that come in. And they're, how do you know this? Where is this written down? It's in my head. It's from Marshall. And it's been wonderful because stories of different strikes in a mill and how those affected the communities, and you'd look at different pictures and he could identify everyone in the picture. He was amazing. And it's such an honor because he shared those stories with me. And they often say, you know, when people die twice, they die the first time when you physically die, and then the second time when people stop saying your name. And I'm like, I have Marshall's name, these kids hear it, he's going to live for another at least 25 years.
Oh yeah, yeah, so, and probably longer.
And more than that, but it's neat because to share these stories with the kids, they are fascinated by it. They love the local history, so it is a very sad day. Marshall lived a long life, a fantastically interesting life, and just so many people held him in such high regard and high respect. That is a sign of a life well lived.
Well said. And appreciation to Marshall and his legacy and what he did and telling those stories and everything. And it's part of why it's so important that not only we encourage that more out of our community members, and especially our longtime community members that know these stories, but we keep these stories alive, like you said, repeating these stories and telling them to younger people, and then they go on and tell those stories. That's how we keep our history alive. And this is our history. This is important. We know for a fact, especially, you know, being kids ourselves, history is interesting to us. And these kids are sponges. They're looking for these things. You tell them this, and chances are they'll be telling it to somebody when they're older.
Well, and it always interests me because there will be people that say, well, I never liked history. And how can you not like history?
Yeah,
these are the stories of people.
Yeah.
And Marshall was so visionary in the sense that he saw the importance of preserving our history while we were living it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And so many people, like, it's not important. Sean Woods, the police chief in Nakusa, was going through some files, and this was late last fall, and he found all these pictures of Nakusa that someone took in the late 70s and early 80s. And he's like, you might want these. And so I've saved them, because we have a large binder of Nakusa history, and to see how the community changed. The person who took those pictures in 1979 never thought that the Nakusa landscape would change that much, but it has.
Yeah.
And you have these pictures and people think it's not a big deal. Your local libraries, your local historical societies love that sort of stuff.
And with that, I do want to send a shout out to our friends over at the Historic Point Boss who keep history alive over there, our local museum here in the Southwood County Museum, and so many of these people, like you said, keeping history alive. And individuals like you and Marshall and these people that keep these stories going and everything. It's just as is important, and I appreciate that and appreciate you sharing that with us. Something that we're really proud of over there is the winter reading program. Yes. I want to start there with you, Darla, if you don't mind.
So we have a winter reading program, and it started last year. We've always done a winter reading program for adults, and we tried to figure out a different way to do it. We had been doing a bingo card, and we decided to try something different, and it's called Stories to Savor. And so, you know, books are something you should savor. You shouldn't be rushing through them. You should take time and read them and just enjoy the act of reading. So we have this program. You read a book, you complete a very short book summary or book review, and then every week you get entered into a drawing, and we have different food prizes. So you might get lunch at a local establishment or a slice of pie. We went to Ruby Red's and got some nice snacks. We stopped at Sweet Sip, so we've been trying to focus on local businesses and giving people a little chance to sample them, because it's sometimes scary. It's out of your routine. Well, if you get a little gift certificate, you might break out of that routine.
Absolutely.
And support another new local business.
What a great tie-in. That's fantastic. Yeah. That is a really cool idea. It's taking a good idea, I feel like, and making it even better. That's really cool to hear. There are also winter tech classes available for people as well.
Yes.
Want to remind everyone about.
So one of our staff members loves technology and has really run with this. And we often have people come in and they have different tech-related questions. And so starting in February 13th, we start with our first class, which is how to navigate the Nakusa Library website. We have a lot of content on there, how to access the library catalog, what events are going to be coming up, how to book our meeting room. That's what we're going to be covering in that. Then it's how to use a mouse and keyboard. And that may seem intuitive, but it's not. How to search on Google, how to stay safe on the internet, how to avoid scams, how to take pictures on your cell phone. That is easy for a lot of the younger generations, but some older people have a difficult time. And once they learn how to do it and are able to practice a few times, they have that skill. So we are excited. These run from February 13th through June 5th. It's every other Thursday.
I love the details and the amount of classes and the different categories you're covering here. I feel like you got all bases covered when it comes to that. And certainly it's important nowadays. We're only getting more and more tech-friendly, tech-centric as a society. We want our senior individuals to be able to enjoy the net and all the different things for it. If I'm sitting there with my friends and I'm a senior and I want to know who won the World Series in 57 or something like that, I want to be able to look it up. All that kind of thing. That those are all great resources and great things to keep you busy or just fun to do. But I value so much the idea of not just giving these individuals an opportunity to learn this, but a safe environment to do it, a friendly environment. There is no judgment. There is no, those are all great questions no matter what you're asking and a lot of that. The idea, too, of what we see more and more, and I bring this up because I think it needs attention more and more, is the isolation that not just us as individuals, but especially our seniors are going through in rural communities like ours, Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, any of these places. So giving them an opportunity to have more connections, to more conversations, whether it's part of this class or it's something that they, you know, meet somebody that has a hobby they have in another state or something, whatever it is, giving them more opportunities to enjoy life. Like, they deserve it. They've earned it. They're the trailblazers. They're the reason we're here. This is the least we can do. I think it's a really cool program.
Thank you. And I'm glad you brought up our seniors and experience isolation, especially in the winter months with the roads not being great. We've been fortunate this year. We do offer dropping off materials. I have some low vision community members. I have some elderly community members that aren't comfortable driving. They can call the library. We can put books on hold. I often will go after I'm done with work and deliver materials just to keep them in the loop and provide them with materials. But we also have the libraries are unique because a lot of elderly or older community members will stop in on a weekly basis. We know our patrons.
Yeah.
And to be able to check in with them, because a lot of times their family doesn't live in the area.
Yeah.
And we also have added with our Wi-Fi access point, which I know we'll get into in a few minutes. But one of the neat stories I had about that is we had a patron whose parent is older. and the family is scattered across the country. And he came in, he goes, can you help me get my Android phone to use FaceTime? And so we were able to figure that out. And they don't have internet at their house. So he comes to the library and he is able to use our Wi-Fi on like a Sunday afternoon, go call his family members, and his mom can talk to the family members that live in different areas.
How great is that?
It is, and it's awesome. One of those stories that don't get told often enough. It's like, what do you need an outdoor Wi-Fi point? Things like that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that is a great story, and I'm happy for him and other individuals that can use that service. But I also flip this back on you and your staff, and to think of something like that. Like, that's that deserves as much credit. That's just as cool. I don't know that that's necessarily something that, you know, is in the blueprint or anything of the work when you took the job. But, you know, I think it's really cool to think of those things. And it again, speaks to why our libraries remain our community hub. Individual thinking and unique thinking. So many, I say this a little bit of having a mom that spent, you know, decades at the working at a library, but even if I'm a little biased, don't mean I'm wrong. It's part of the reason how we keep not only libraries relevant and keep people coming to them, but we keep our communities healthy. We keep our, whether we're talking mental health or just safety in general. You mentioned that being able to check up on them and them being able to reach out to people just from Wi-Fi. Just from having Wi-Fi more available than it would be otherwise. That really is above and beyond. That's great.
Well, I always say that the libraries are the community living room. Everyone is welcome. Mm-hmm. You do need to behave. Yeah. But also, the libraries are so important because it is one of the few places where we preserve the community culture. Like who the community is. What the community is, what they value, that is all part of the library. Mm-hmm. If you notice, when there are any invading armies, throughout history, one of the first places they would go in to destroy were the libraries. Why? Destroy the culture, destroy the community's identity, destroy their history, destroy their language. So I feel very strongly about libraries and communities and the role we play.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. You mentioned the extended Wi-Fi. Just to cover the details of that before we move on. That is a pretty cool, that's a big increase with that.
Oh, it's fantastic. So in 2023, we had one Wi-Fi access point, which served the inside the library and just outside the front doors of the library. And we had about 12,000 uses. In late November of 2023, South Central contacted me and says, we have the second access point. Would you be interested? I said, why not?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm one of these people. I don't like saying no too often. I'm a yes, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we added the second outdoor Wi-Fi access point. It covers the whole parking lot. And our Wi-Fi uses went from 12,600 to 67,800 in the course of a year.
Wow.
So that's over a 400% increase.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It is. We are beyond happy with that.
Well, and it shows the need for that then. You know, that was a really smart idea. That was really useful. That the numbers speak for themselves there. That's really impressive. And again, great idea to do that.
So it's interesting because our library funding is based on circulation. Mm-hmm. How many books we circulate.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But that's only one part of the puzzle of what libraries provide. And so our circulation may not be huge, but we had 56,000 people come into the library last year in the Coosa, a town of about 2,400.
Yeah, that's...
And we had almost 68,000 Wi-Fi uses. Those are people who may never check out a single book. We have people that use the meeting rooms. We have our meeting rooms booked almost every day. Those are also people that may not be checking out a book, but it's that idea of library as a third place.
Right, yeah.
You can come in, you can use our resources, you can use our facilities, you can make photocopies, send in your timesheets, any paperwork we will help you send in. Make sure you can scan the email. They are not checking out a book, but the service we provide is so invaluable to so many in our community.
Well, and you know, any the smartest businesses are able to pivot, are able to adapt. But as I say that, but I actually in this chair and being spoiled in this job and getting to talk to so many people, I really feel like our nonprofits and are way better at this than like the business world as far as pivoting, adapting. And I think in part because you have to be, but also because of the individuals that get into this line of work. I think there's just something about creatives and getting into this world and what you can bring to it, like the things we're talking about here. And another thing that I've been dying to talk to you about since you showed it to me in our pregame, I really think this is cool and unique to our Charles and Joanne Lester Library.
Yes. To the best of my knowledge, we are the only library in the South Central system that is doing this. And so it started out as a staff member voicing frustration because we'd have people come in and they're like, what's the next John Sanford book? Mm-hmm. John Sanford has a, you know, 3 dozen, 4 dozen books, and trying to keep them in series order. And she goes, can we print out a piece of paper? We don't have room on the shelves. And so it was a collaborative process where we were able to figure out a shelf marker. And so we have two subject matters. We have favorite authors, which are your high volume publisher authors, and Wisconsin Reads, which are all of our Wisconsin authors. And each of these shelf markers has a QR code. So if you have a smartphone, you can scan that. It talks about the author, all of their books in series order, because they have multiple series, and then other authors this author likes and authors that write in a similar style. So you may not have a smartphone when you come into the library. We have the smartphone. We have an iPad. So if you are interested, my staff is absolutely fantastic about, we can help you with this. Let's go out to the stacks.
And to what we were talking about before with the winter tech classes, this is a great way to put those things you learn into action and check them out. And it is really unique. It is really a cool thing to be able to just put your camera right there, get that, go right to the website and see all this information.
It's really neat.
I was joking with Darla, you guys are maybe the first, but you will not be the last. This is too cool to not see in most of our libraries, but really proud that it's showing up here first. And a very, I think actually really, like it makes sense when I take a step back and think about it, because I would think that that library in particular could be really benefited by something like this. You mentioned the space and just not having the space that you to be able to have some of these things. Well, then thankfully you got the convenience of this, and it's a great resource.
Well, and the cool thing is as I said, it started out with voicing a frustration that patrons were feeling, and the staff member relays it to us, and then we brainstorm. I have a great staff, and figuring out these things. And they're not huge things. They're not things that cost a lot of money, but I always try to tell myself, we're a small library with a small budget, but let's learn how to do the small things really, really well.
We're speaking with Darla Allen, director of Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nacoosa, and wanted to make sure that people knew about Story Times. It's a Wednesday event that they can check out.
So yes, we have a preschool story time at 10 a.m., everyone is welcome. I mean, you don't have to be a preschooler, but we do a little craft. We have a story, multiple stories, and parents show up early. We have a great kids play area, so it's usually an hour and 15 minute event. Stories take up about a half hour. It's a great way to connect with other parents and guardians and kids. So if you are a person who is just starting out their family, you don't know a lot of people in the area, the library is a great place to start.
Yeah, that's a great point. And a really nice opportunity for families to be able to do all those things you said, along with getting out of the house sometimes. Yes. It's just nice being able to do that sometimes, too. And as we're wrapping up, Darla, you know, as we mentioned, we're both fans of history, love local history. You had something you wanted to share with us.
So I was a guardian on the May 2023 honor flight with my father. So the Never Forgotten Honor Flight that flies out of Central Wisconsin. And if you've never been to the welcome home for that, it is amazing. I mean, if you need an emotional pick-me-up, run up to Central Wisconsin Airport in Moissonee, because it is just heartwarming to see how these veterans, they are like teenagers again. And let me tell you, these older veterans, they go back to the hotel. There's a little after party reception. They are going till 4 in the morning. Like, I was wrecked afterwards. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It is, that ties in where my father was a huge lover of history and always quiz me on Civil War activities. And so for the better part of a year, I was trying to figure out how do I honor veterans? And I had ideas. We do a Memorial Day display of our veterans who have been deceased. We do a Veterans Day display of all of the veterans in our community. And I finally figured it out, like, you know, let's take the pictures that I've collected and let's do a little weekly feature. So we have Never Forgotten Friday on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And every week I've tried to feature a different veteran. Mm-hmm. 1 week it'll be a veteran who is deceased. Mm-hmm. And then the next week we do a veteran that is alive. Mm-hmm. So we had a two-part series with Keith Warner and Lawrence Spice. That was the last 2 weeks, really. And Keith Warner was a World War II veteran who was killed in action about the time of Battle of the Bulge. Mm. And his best friend, Lawrence Spice, had enlisted with him. Keith was drafted. Lawrence enlisted because he didn't want his best friend to go alone. Mm. And in an interview he gave with the Daily Tribune when he was about 72, he said, you know, the one piece of advice I would give to young people is don't enlist with a friend, because when only one of you comes back, it's just too hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he enlisted at 20, 50-some years later. He was still that 20-year-old who had lost his best friend. It was just heart-wrenching to read. And so every week I do a different feature. Today I just posted a story about Todd Boudreau, who is a younger person. Mm-hmm. He lives in Nakusa. He's active with the Nakusa Fire Department, with the EMTs, very active with veterans organizations. I know he helped organize this Veterans Honor Night with the Nakusa football team, the Nakusa High School football team, and got the flags for all the service, all the different military branches. And Todd's just a really awesome guy. So he is this week's feature.
Very cool. Encourage you to find out about these. And thank you again for, real quick, for doing this, for thinking of this. Again, another wonderful, above and beyond unique idea that you guys are doing over there at the Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nakusa. Darla, always good talking with you. We got to bring you back real soon. Don't Perfect. Be a stranger. Find out more at NakusaLibrary.com. You can go to the website. And as she mentioned, the Facebook page, go to there, type that in your search bar, like that page, keep up to date in the things they are doing, and be sure to share the events and our soldier stories and so many of these on your Facebook page. You just never know who might see it otherwise.
Exactly.
Darla, really good talking with you. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, James. Have a good afternoon.
You too. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to all of our guests. And of course, a big thank you to the heart of this station, Pam Hilke, and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week, right here at WFHR.